This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. There's lots of tournaments on this weekend, so jump into NZB and have a look. Hamilton Restricted is this Sunday, Barry. And at this stage, we've got 7.5 tables. We'd love some more entries, listeners. If you know anybody, give them a call.
It's about 5 to 7.5 tables. There'll be big gaps in the room if there's only 7.5 tables.
We've got some results to share with you.
Just quickly, before you do that, just speaking about tournaments, I had a plug here from David Beecham. He sent me an email saying, just in case anybody from New Zealand wants to enter for the Coffs Harbour Congress in August, he would recommend they enter today. Unbelievably, entries only opened this morning, already close to half full. How about really? That? And already one New Zealand team entered. So he's just mentioning that. Great fun, that Coffs Harbour Congress. Get you away from the New Zealand winter.
When did you say that?
It's in August.
Yeah,
it's in August.
I can't. I got better places to be in August.
So the results from Auckland, they had their Easter Congress. So the teams was won by the Jacob team, Stephen, Tom Jacob, Kevin Hu and Jerry Chen. And they had a remarkable record. They had 5 matches on Saturday in the qualifying, another 4 in the final. They won 9 out of 9, Mariana.
It's a pretty good record, isn't it?
The second were the Livingston team, and third was the Weir team.
They had the intermediate pairs on Saturday. That was won by Carol Bearsley and Kerry McRae, with Susie Hales and Jacinda Manconi coming second. And the 10A Open pairs was won by Mike Doeke and Michael Weir. He got first place.
Yeah. Mike Doeke, he was over from Adelaide in Australia, apparently, but we didn't hold that against him.
And second were John Patterson and Kate Davies.
Yeah, and the other great effort was Neil Riddell and Tania Brown from up north.
Walk-in pairs. We had 20 tables.
20 tables, so yeah, good numbers. The room was pretty full.
That was won by
Bradley Johnston and Graham Tufnell from down south. By the way, they finished up 4th in the 10A pairs, so they did pretty well in that as well.
Yeah, and just second missed the cut for the playoffs of the teams.
Second in the 3A were Keisha Wynn and Ian Barrington.
Their teammates.
Third, Joy and Dennis Watkinson. How was the 3A pairs, Mariana? Were you in fine form?
No, I wasn't in fine form. Did manage to find a slam or two and play some hands, take some light and go light myself. One thing that happened today, and it's just a question, not complaining about it. We were playing a hand, we said making 5. Declarer says, yep, making 5. Partner said, making 5. Dummy says, oh, did you make 6? No, I think I made 5. And we say, right, okay, 5. We put it away. And at the end, you can see the traveller, and it's got 6. And the next one, oh, hang on, I did make 6. So it's a little bit of an explanation about how you could make 6. I couldn't remember. I had 5. Declarer said 5. Barb agreed with 5. And then all of a sudden, it's making 6. You really have to remember what you're playing, Barry, because I couldn't actually remember anything. And I said, I thought we got a rough, and I thought...
You just played the hand. Is your short-term memory starting to fail?
Yeah, I can't remember it.
I can't talk. I was playing a match. In the first one, they said, I think I might have been declaring myself. I said, making 2. And they said, oh, you made 3. Oh, did I? Okay. And then the next hand they played, and I said, they were in 3. And I said, making 4. And they said, no, we only made 3. And after that, they wouldn't listen to me, Mariana. They wouldn't listen to me anymore. Couldn't add up to 4.
Well, what were you doing then?
Obviously not concentrating on those over tricks.
Really, it's not really important to keep a track of it. And sometimes when you make 6, you don't. You make 4. Then sometimes you make 5. Sometimes you even go light. I'm just blown away with some of the dumb stuff that I did. One thing I was thinking in my hand, right, you do this and you do that. And then I was like, so you don't need to play clubs anymore. And what did I do? Pull out a club and play a club. And I was like, no, but too late. It's already played. And then I went off and I was like, you just told yourself, don't play a club. What do? Pull out a club. Got to stop having these conversations with these stupid people, Barry.
Yeah, well, I've been thinking about this while you've been speaking, and I think I could have the reason.
What's that?
I have to ask you a question. Which vehicle did you take up? Was it the Bath or the Falcon?
I took the Falcon.
Well, there you see. That could be it. Perhaps you should have taken the bath. It sounds like you did take a bath.
It's a funny game, really, isn't it? Because it can go from pretty average to extraordinary. 47 to 67. That's amazing, isn't it? What makes the tide turn?
One of the matches we played today, we were playing against Jack James and Brett Glass, and they had most of the cards for quite a while in this match anyway. And every time Brett became declarer, his finesses were all working, the suits all break, he was making overs. Every time Jack was declarer, the suits didn't break, his finesses all failed, and he was always going off. It was getting pretty frustrating. It's funny how that went.
So Brett was saying, this is looking good, this is, and Jack's going, what do I have to do?
It got to the point, every time Jack became declarer, he started seeing shadows everywhere. Everything was going to go wrong.
And yet, they came...
Anyway, they were fourth.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Good morning, Judge Julie. Did you get enough sleep last night after a busy day? Or busy weekend?
I had a lazy bath and soaked, and then I just crashed. Absolutely wonderful.
Nice.
That's because she got rid of her visitors, Mariana. And speaking of the weekend, there seem to be a few sights going on over the weekend, Julie. Have the rules changed slightly or something? What happens with sights these days? Do you get a prize?
Oh, you never ever got a prize. Psychic bidding has always been a part of playing bridge. People are allowed to tell lies, and they always have been. For a long time, we've had a definition about how often you can psych in a session, because frequency becomes important. New Zealand has changed, and they did this last year, to come in line with the WBF, and then the ABF has also done this, apparently, about what the regulations are. So I printed out about psychic bidding from the WBF. Really clear in New Zealand, if you make a strong artificial forcing bid, unless it is showing an agreement about a suit or a balanced hand, it cannot be psyched. So if I open a precision club or you open a two club bid or something like that, or a partner opens a week two and you bid to no trumps forcing and asking about their hand, some of those bids cannot be psyched. It is illegal under our regulations, because it is too disruptive, might be the best way of phrasing what happens next.
Yeah.
Right. When you psych, when you tell a lie, a psych is a gross distortion of what your bidding would normally mean. And the phrase in here, random psychs may occur as the laws allow without warning, so long as these can be no more anticipated by the partner than by the opponents. If I'm playing with Patrick and I make a bid that is nothing like what our system agreement is, he has to be as completely confused by my bidding as the opponents. He'll often say he's more confused by my bidding, but that's a different story. We won't go there. So a psych is a gross misrepresentation of a bid that you make. If you do so frequently, you will get to a situation where your partner will be expecting some bids to be maybe not quite what they should be. If it gets to that point, and it doesn't matter whether the partner takes that into account or not, then it starts becoming systemic. It becomes an inferred agreement, an implicit agreement, not an explicit one. So if people cite frequently, their partners will be aware of it, and there will be a point where this becomes not a gross misrepresentation to their partner. And so we've run psych registers in the past, and clubs do run psych registers, but basically if people are aware that someone is psyching frequently, then there are some other issues that arise. So psyching is strategy. If you are playing against opponents that are weaker than you, you are probably going to do well against them. Disrupting their enjoyment of the game doesn't help anyone. People that want to psych, if they choose to do so against weaker novice opponents, they're not helping our new players and they're not helping themselves.
Mm. It'd be difficult for directorate sometimes when somebody psychs. I mean, where is the line when something is gross and something isn't? And say they open two diamonds, which is a week two in a major, and the other hand's got like 3-3 in the majors and a six-card minor and about a 12 count or something. Well, that wouldn't be gross, I guess.
No, hand evaluation right? There are fuzzy lines or fudge, yep, whatever you like to call them. We will upgrade or downgrade the value of a hand because of things like intermediate cards, the shape of the hand, having three card support and avoid, we might support, we are, otherwise we might not. There's lots of stuff around hand evaluation. A gross misrepresentation is not a bid that is close to being right. My favourite one, which Patrick and I still do not agree on, is when I was directing at Congress. He overcalled a suit that, did he overcall? He made a bid on a suit that was headed by the King Queen Jack, so a six count, where it was meant to be something stronger. And I defined it as a psych, and he didn't. I might actually agree with him now. I don't know. I can't remember the exact circumstance. But in the course of things, it's sort of not particularly relevant if you aren't psyching all the time. Once you start psyching frequently, then there become issues about it. So if someone psychs against you, normally you're upset and you call the director. The director's got to determine whether it's a psych or whether it's a misbid or a misexplanation anyway. But generally looking at the hand puts it out of the misexplanation range because it is so different from what it might have been.
So if you have an agreement that your one-day trump opening is 12 to 14 and you open it with 10, that's not considered a sign.
No, that's not a gross misrepresentation, is it?
Yep.
But if you open it with 10 three or four times, then your partner's going to start describing it as it might be 10, because that's what's happening at the table. That's what an implicit agreement is.
Mm-hmm.
So if your partner is frequently opening a no trump with less values than what it says on the system card, you should be stating that when you make your announcement.
Okay.
So implicit agreements are where things happen. You know, a multi two, which has got 6 to 9 with a weak major and partner keeps showing up with 3 points. It's not a gross misdescription. They've got a six-card major. They've got a weak hand. But your explanation better start saying it's 3 points at some point because you know that that is what is happening and your opponents are entitled. If you say open one no trump on a two count, that isn't close to being a no trump opener. So that's
interesting where the line is, Julie, because eight is probably a psych as well. If you open a no trump on an eight count.
Yeah, and there are lines. One spade was two spades when you're promising an opening hand was five or four of them.
Mm.
You know, your opponents are furious because they should be in four spades and you've opened one spade and the whole auction has been thrown out the window.
They don't come without risk, though, of course, when you open a spade on a doubleton.
And that is the point, right? You are absolutely at high risk when you psych because your partner will believe what you're doing. If your partner's not believing you, then you have a problem because you're psyching too often and the director will be making a ruling that that is no longer a psych because your partner is not bidding appropriately because you're psyching too often.
And what's the slap on the hand for psyching too often?
Generally, it's being penalised. There's a point where things occur, like I said, implicit agreements because partner keeps doing something. If the psych becomes an implicit agreement because it always occurs in this situation, opening suit in hand with nothing. If you keep doing that, your partner knows you've got an agreement because your partner keeps doing it.
Did you psych over the weekend, Barry?
No.
Have you ever psyched Barry Angel?
I have psyched, but I think I'm getting too old.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Yeah. I remember the whole point of psyching was not how often you did it, but when you did, you let everyone know so they never trusted your bidding. And certainly age and experience, there's a period of time where you tend to tell lies a large portion of the time and then you settle down because it gets too difficult for everyone.
When Julie says experience, she means to say bitter experience.
Yeah.
Actually, we had Judge Julie get up and speak to us about psychs before we started the final on Monday, yesterday.
Yeah.
Seems
yeah.
like a lifetime ago. And she got up and talked a little bit about psyching. And whoever was at the table with me turned to me and said, "Is that you?"
No, so the manual comes out with release note and they used to be sent out and we'd get a sheet of paper that said about what the changes were in the manual. We no longer get that. So it's just on the website under directing regulations. Page D78, it has got written up about it. I actually printed out for today, the WBF psychic regulations, because that's where they're coming from. And it is actually very well written. The New Zealand one's got a bit more stuff around it because we have some more definition about the strong bids that aren't allowed to be psyched than the more general statement I think that's made on here. Basically, the intent, WBF, ABF, New Zealand, all the same.
So they all thought that you looked guilty enough and the psych reminder was specifically for you.
It was just this one person who maybe, like Julie says, if you get a reputation, you know, it's hard to get rid of it. It's a long time since I've psyched, I can tell you that.
Funny.
Actually, I have the same problem. And the other thing is that there are some situations where you have protection from your system, and the WBF has a wee bit in there about that, where explicit agreements that psychic calls are expected or provision of systemic protection for them are prohibited. So if you have a way where you can psych and your partner won't get carried away, that's not allowed, because that means that your side is not taking the risk that you're creating for the other side. Psyching is high risk. If it's not high risk, you're probably not allowed to, would be about where I'd go with that. I'd need specific situations. I think that's the intent.
Okay. So yesterday, when you were directing the final, the playoffs of the teams, what was the most exciting call that you addressed yesterday?
You don't get them, really.
Oh, how boring is that?
I had a claim where the bearer tabled their cards and said nothing, which is always a nuisance because the opponents are sitting, looking and deciding whether or not they can take more tricks. If you make a claim, please make a statement. You protect yourself a huge amount, but also it just makes life quicker and easier than just saying, look, these are mine, and letting everyone else untangle what's going on. I had a couple of situations where system agreement wasn't clear. When you make a bid, if your partner alerts it, they give your agreed system, not what they think it is, not I think it's blah, blah, blah. They don't make up what's going on. They have to give what your agreement is. And in some situations, you sit there and think, I can't remember, right? You don't make a statement. You call the director so your partner can explain the meaning of the bid.
And you can't say, hang on, and just give them the system card.
I mean, a system card doesn't cover a lot of stuff.
Okay.
It did in one situation I had. It was really clear from what the system card said that that gave me a basis for what their system agreement might be.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't remember, and I have done this, I've alluded a bit because I know it's not natural, but when they ask, I say, I can't remember, I call the director. The director will send me away from the table and get my partner to explain the bid. And then everyone is happy because they've got the right explanation.
Okay.
So there's a few things around that. There was a couple of psychs. In general, everyone behaved very well over the weekend. It was played in a really good, friendly manner. So it went really smoothly.
Did you call the director at all, Barry?
Maybe I just didn't notice, but I hardly ever heard Julie getting called. There can't have been many.
There never are, really.
So onwards and upwards.
It is indeed. Onwards and upwards. Anyway.
Thanks, Jules. See you next week.
Right.
How are you getting on with your book?
I'm up to page 126, Mariana.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I'm allowed to say too much, but...
Why, who's going to stop you from saying something?
Well, I'm just hoping that Peter Witzel doesn't listen to the show, and I'm sure he doesn't, the author of the book that I'm reading called Bridges First Hippie. And it is pretty good in parts, but some of it's quite hard going. What happens is I go to bed and I start reading it when I get to one of those hard going bits, then I go to sleep. And, it's been working pretty well for the last few weeks. I'm up to page 126. The news is it's got 200 pages in the top of me away from the finish. How's your book going?
I put it down for a little while.
You had to put down, like you shot it between the eyes, dead.
Yeah. I haven't been reading. I've been tidying my office up.
What is the book you're reading?
It should be. It was Zia's book, Bridge of Love
Zia's
Story.
Book. Oh,
yeah, so I'll give you an update on that, but there are some funny things in there.
Are you halfway yet?
Yeah, I'm up to 161.
How many pages are there?
324.
So you're not quite halfway.
No. He got asked a couple of questions, and one of the questions was, if you partner somebody, why would you partner with them? How do you judge who would be a great partner? And he does it in no particular order. He says that he would partner Andrew Robson. He reckons his strength is that he's a gifted superstar, on his day unbeatable, and he's a great partner. His weakness, can go into a trance that even Buddha would envy, is known on occasion to score a bogey trying for an eagle, and a great subject for a psychotherapist. That's his opinion on Andrew Robson. Do you want to know what his opinion on Geir Helgemo is?
That'll be entertaining.
His strength is, without a doubt, the best all-round player, impeccable and elegant card player, almost error-free. And his weaknesses, bidding methods are primitive, but who needs systems if you're as good as Helgi? And Sabine Orkin, you like who? Her strengths are as good as the best, better than the rest, card play genius, loves the game with insatiable passion. And her weaknesses are loves complicated systems, but they can be a distraction on occasion, can be too intense. Wow. How would you describe yourself? What's one of your strengths, Barry?
Oh, God. Look, really, I think actually to do well at bridge, it's boring, but you just have to try to eliminate errors. On a good day, I may not make too many errors, or maybe I get away with the ones that I do make.
Uh-huh.
So, but on a bad day, I make more mistakes than I should. That's really what it comes down to. It's how many mistakes you make. It's usually not the brilliancies that you do or the amazing system that you play or whatever. It's usually just stuffing up. Shouldn't.
We had a healthy discussion about psyching after Judge Julie's segment, so I'm going to include it. Have a listen.
It is the frustration when they bring out the manual. They don't bring out something that says, you really want to know that we've changed this. You get a sheet of paper that has a lot of stuff that is completely irrelevant. And somewhere in there is important bits that come up.
Someone
told me I was wrong when I got called about a site.
They
made. And I went down to Patrick and said,
someone
told me I'm wrong. I need you to print it out.
Yep.
He went looking. I went upstairs. I went looking. I found it. He found it.
And this person
was right. Not quite right.
They
couldn't psych every board. You're not allowed to because your partner knows there's lots of psychs going on. That will not happen. It has definitely changed. And that was sometime last year. So.
And the vast majority of players, like well over 90%, won't have even looked at it.
The reason I announced it yesterday was because if someone started to psych more than once, right, then other people will be saying, well, you can't do that. They should be aware that you can. I don't think Patrick really agreed with me telling everyone they could psych as much as they liked.
So before there used to be a small number and now...
No, there's been a group of people. What they did, they said your side could only psych...
Twice
in a session.
Something like, I think it was twice.
Yeah. Something like that. So the thing is, it's not about the fact that you're going to lie in a session. It's the fact about having the hands where you would make a psych bid because it's a strategic thing to do.
I see.
They don't come up very often. Yep. But when they do, you could get three or four of them in a session and none for another 5 or 6 months.
Okay.
So having a freer set of regular, I agree with it fully. The problem arises when you have people that are disrupting the enjoyment of the game for other people because they're just doing it just because they want to be a pain in the neck.
Right.
And that's the problem clubs have, particularly small clubs with mixed groups, because the intermediate players that are going through to become open that are quite good, they go through a period where they like to psych. Almost without fail. They like to play all the conventions and they like to psych.
Okay.
And the youth like to psych.
I'd be too nervous to psych.
Oh, it's an adrenaline rush. It's fantastic.
It is high risk and it's pretty scary stuff.
And when it's successful,
you can't wait to tell people.
The point of telling people is so they know not to trust you, okay? The entire point of psyching is to tell people that they can't always trust you 100% about your bidding.
I'd get too shitty at partner if they did that. Yeah. I'd be terrible.
Well, see, that's part of the problem. Beginners, you can't trust anyway. There's no point in them psyching. You never know what the hell they're doing anyway, right?
Yeah, I'd be alerting it. Don't know, don't know.
I never forget one time I psyched. It was when one of the first times I didn't know Patrick. Patrick was directing. Patrick didn't know me. I was just a country boy from Te Araha, playing with a country boy from Tamranui. And we're up there, smoke playing in the Wes Dodd or something or other. Anyway, I was playing against Peter Bark and Bonnie Carroll, who used to bloody well. So I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know who they were.
Peter
anyway.
Bark always does. Yeah,
I didn't even know who they were. So anyway, partner had passed and we were green against red, this is the classic. And they opened something, Peter did. And I doubled for takeout. I was 4-1. I had perfect shape and a two count or something. Anyway, partner bid a couple of times and they bid and everybody bid. And then they stopped in a part score. And then he got everything wrong and went light and we moved on. And a few tables later, I had a visit from Patrick at my table. Oh, that's nice. And he said, this board here, this double, what was this double? And I said, oh, it was for takeout. And he said, do you usually make takeout doubles that low? And I said, oh, well, no, not usually. And he said, so it was a psych then? And I said, well, it was a takeout double. That was that many points.
Yep.
He got very grumpy with me and said, it was a psych. And left.
I was playing with Rachel years ago when I first moved up to Auckland against Christine and Peter Wilson. And Peter Wilson psyched all the time. He was really bad. Anyway, on this hand, I psyched. And then the auction went berserk because Rachel just believed me and kept bidding because Peter always psyched. So everyone at the table assumed Peter was the one that was lying. And I didn't even know that, right? I thought, God, this is insane. Surely somewhere in here, someone is thinking something's gone wrong. And they were, but they didn't think it was me.
Oh, funny.
Jenny hardly ever psychs, but not never. She has psyched. Yeah. And when Jenny psychs, no one ever believes it. Well, they don't.
Funny.
There are common situations, but it's just one of those things. But unfortunately, the problem arises at club level with weaker players. There's no point in psyching against weaker players because you're going to do well against them anyway.
Okay.
I think part of the trouble is people that like psyching, because like you say, they don't happen that often, really. If their hand comes up to give the opportunity, even if it's against a weak pair, they just can't resist.
Yeah. And because it's allowed in the laws, you can't regulate it. You can't regulate against it. You can't have that there's no psyching.
Yeah.
All right, if you're getting master points. You can have things around it where you strongly, like on beginners' nights, you absolutely discourage people from doing anything. That's one of the big issues with clubs, is they very often they want to regulate against it. It is actually a part of the game.
Catch you next week and happy bridging.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.